Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Today, it's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Mark Donelow's here. Mark's a new friend. He's the founder and managing partner of Sales Globe, which is an organization that helps provides professional services to organizations just like yours to help them put their best foot forward to become a little more sophisticated. And he's the author of a book, What Your CEO Needs to Know About Sales Compensation. And that's exactly the topic we're going to talk about today. He's our new friend, Mark Donelow. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. So you're talking to a grizzled old salesman. I've had every kind of experience you can have, including being thrown out of an office at gunpoint, you know. So I there's not much I haven't seen. And for many, many years, I was just on the compensation side of the sales process, and then over the last several years, I've been on the other side where I had to make sure either my business or someone else's business I was helping were paying their people everything they can afford to pay, that motivated mm-hmm. the people, and didn't you know hurt the company. And that drove the direction of the company. That's really important, isn't it?
It is absolutely important. And I think we miss those things a lot of times, especially when we get into something specific like sales compensation. We'll tend to take kind of a myopic view and we'll get into, well, what do I need to do around the commission rates or what mm-hmm. I need to do around, you know, the specific measures. And we don't take a look at the big picture, like you said, the strategy. So that's really an important place to start.
I probably learned more about this from Xerox when I worked for Xerox a long, long, long time ago. Every year, my compensation was, if I wanted to make the most money in any given year that I could possibly make, it would be because I focused on what they wanted to sell the most that year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If the 3100 was last year's product and the 3100 LDC was this year's products, then I had to make a change if I were to maximize my compensation. They made sure that they paid us well, but if you really wanted to maximize, you had to get on board with the company's direction.
Right, and that's where I think we've got to find that balance between the motivation and the strategy of the organization, make sure the plan is making that connection. And you mentioned the book. That's a lot of what the book is about, mm-hmm. is connecting the strategy to the front line. And if you think about it, you know, that's like a long-distance line. At the corner office, which for, you know, small businesses like we run, that's not very far from the front line. You've got to make sure that connection is very clear. A lot of that is through the incentive compensation program. A lot of that is through management and leadership as well. So we're asking a pivotal question about, you know, what should I be paying for versus what should I be managing to? See, you mentioned Xerox. I think that's an interesting situation. Some companies will adjust. They'll change their plans every year. It's a matter of course. It's a routine. You don't always have to do that. So what we're typically looking for is, did something change with the direction of the business or our strategy around what we're offering, who we're offering it to? Or is something fundamentally not working in the plan? Those are real reasons to change the plan. So you don't mm-hmm. necessarily have to change it every year, but a lot of companies do get into that cycle.
Well, I don't recommend it for small businesses because it really upsets the sales force. I mean, if you don't have a sales force that can shuck and jive, you know, every January like we did, you mm-hmm. know, we were pretty high powered folks and we were young and bulletproof, right? And so we were able to take it. But a lot of people, you get a salesman, saleswoman is going to work for you for years, you don't want their apple cart disrupted every year. But there are ways to make adjustments through various incentives and different things that still allow you to drive the company in a direction this year that's a little different from last year, aren't there?
Well, absolutely, and I think that's one of the first things you want to look at is what you mentioned is change, and do I really want to change? And we did a lot of interviews for the book, and one of the things we heard very clearly from leaders of companies is I know one thing about sales compensation, which is the change introduces risk. So I don't want to change it if I don't have to, because like you said, it upsets the apple cart. People spend time trying to figure out, okay, what do I do now? And it's not just what do I do in terms of the strategy. It's how do I maximize my pay? How's the company trying to take money from me now? Mm-hmm. Right? So the assumption that something bad has happened. But I think the place that we found most useful to start, whether you're a small business or you're up and running for a number of years and, you know, way beyond the startup stage, or you're a larger company, is to start with a bigger context of asking, do I really need to change this? And we tend to look at this idea we go into in the book called Revenue Roadmap. Mm-hmm. And all that says simply is that sales compensation doesn't sit alone in the business or sit alone within how we work in our sales organization. You have to look at it within the context of the other disciplines. So there may be other things that take priority over changing the plan. So don't always assume that's going to happen. So you look at areas like insight, understanding what's going on with your business, with your competitors, with your market. What's that telling you about where you want to go? You look at your strategy. So your strategy would basically be your action plan to achieve your overall business goal or your sales goal. So are things changing around what I'm offering in terms of my products and services, who I'm offering it to in terms of my target segments, my value proposition, and then coverage, which are the roles that I'm using or my channels to market if I'm using partners or other types of distribution channels. Mm-hmm. So are things changing there as the sales process shifted? And then finally we get into where sales compensation lives, which is the enablement layer, which has things like people programs, like the talent that I need, the training and development I'm going to do, and, of course, technology and how I'm going to pay people. So
you also have to decide when it gets me, and I want to talk about this when we come back after the break. You know, let's get into some types of compensation. Do I want to have a sales volume compensation strategy? Do I want to have a gross profit strategy? You see what I mean? Those kinds of things. Can we talk about that after the break?
Absolutely.
Because I think that's really gets down to some of the nuts and bolts that a lot of people need to know about. So the book is called What Your CEO Needs to Know About Sales Compensation. Mark, you want to give us a website quickly, please?
Sure, you can go to salesglobe.com. That has links to the books and blogs.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.